we're coming on.
You're live, right?
All right. Elohim Tov, Ryan.
Cole Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
All right. We have Pastor Ben and we have Officer Ryan in here. Minister Officer Ryan. Minister that's what Ryan. I call him. And we are here. Last night I said something and a few people said, hey, Pastor Sandy, you said something that confused me. You said you don't believe in a Rosh Hashanah rapture. Take that very lightly, okay? Because I used to preach Rosh Hashanah rapture, and I got 100,000 reasons to believe in the Rosh Hashanah rapture.
Yes.
Okay? Then I have one reason, big reason, that I don't believe in the Rosh Hashanah rapture.
Okay.
And I'm going to kind of show you today so that you can see why I believe that the rapture happens at another time, and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Feast of Tabernacles fulfilled the second coming of Christ and not the rapture before. Not the rapture before the tribulation. Anyway, if God says he wants to rapture us at Rosh Hashanah, it is after the wheat harvest, or it might be the second wheat harvest. So believe me, I wouldn't put any money on what I believe in the fact that there's no Rosh Hashanah rapture, because the Rosh Hashanah fulfills quite a bit of rapture information, okay? And we'll talk about that, but I better pray before I get started, because I wouldn't put any money on it. You know, I would have put all my money on May 14th, 2019, the end of the 70 year. I would have put every dime and a couple of kids on that. So it's a good thing I'm not a betting man. I do not gamble at all. So I didn't put anything on it, but that was my date. I said, hey, we're out of here, Rob. You know it. So I think it's wonderful that God has watchmen that are saying, hey, this is an important date. You need to look at this. We even have some people that say, hey, this is an important thing that's going on in the sky. You should look at this.
Right.
And I don't, I can look at it, but God gave me the word. I cannot go by the stars and the, even though God said these will be some of the signs.
Right.
I don't look at any, I look at what people show me, but I don't study it or get involved in it because it's not my calling.
Right.
And so my calling is the Word of God. The Bible I should get all of my information from the Word of God, because that's what God called me to be, a teacher. Amen. Of the Word. So glad to have all of you here at Rosham Messianic Bible Club today. We have some people going through the Hebrew class. Jaqua is helping them. And I hope you finish. Some people started the class and they want to finish it, Pastor Ben.
Amen.
And I think that's awesome that they're saying, hey, I'm coming back. I know I wasn't able to finish before. Where can I pick up? And if you took two tests and you didn't take the third one, start at the third test, finish up, get your degree. We will be more than happy to send you out your associate degree in Hebrew Biblical Theology.
Amen.
Okay, and here we go. Let's pray before we get in the Lord's Prayer. It is my prayer because I want God to to come and to make heaven and earth, you know, his operation, not just we want it to be the same as in heaven as it is on earth. We want Christ ruling here. We want Christ ruling in heaven. This is a big war going on. It's good to know we win.
Amen.
All right. Okay, so let's just bow our heads. Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yikadeshimcha. Tavo Mehuteka Yase Rosanaka. Be Aretke Asherne Asa Beshamaim. Tilano Hayom Lechum Hukeno. Usilaklano Erasmitenu. Ke Asher Solokimanachnu. Le Asher Ashmilanu. Vial Tevienu Ledemasa. Keim hatzilanu min hara, ki lecha hamam lecha, vehagivara vehatif eret leolamei leolamim. Amen. Beshem Yeshua HaMashiach, anachnu tefillin, Hakol, Anashim, and brothers and sisters in Yeshua. This is a great pleasure. I want to thank God for calling me to ministry, because this is better. I went to Cal Berkeley one time. I had a friend that was a head coach, and it's like, well, you know, would you like to get into coaching? You know, I said, I got the best job ever, dude. I would not give up ministering the gospel to coach football, which is about as important as lacrosse in God's impossible, right? So, yeah, no way. The Bible, this is the best job ever. I would never give this up. Yeah. So, let's look at some things. Last night we talked about something very important, and I asked you a question last night. Did God start a countdown of 120 years with the church? Because we know that Christ made a very definitive statement when he said, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. We know that in the days of Noah, Christ or God Almighty said, I'm establishing 120 years until the judgment come. Did God do the exact same thing with us? Because it seems to me in the book of Psalms, from 1 to 120, you have that 120 year count. And it's amazing to me that the Psalms would consist of 120 chapters before it begins a brand new thing with a rapture and a tribulation embedded into the Psalms, showing us exactly what's going to happen. We'll do a better study on that next week. But today I do want to talk about Rosh Hashanah, because it's coming up. OK, and I hope to God I am completely wrong. Me and Jerry Tony got into this about a year ago. And he was saying, you know, well, it's going to be Rosh Hashanah. I was like, nah, I don't believe in a Rosh Hashanah rapture. And after that, we didn't kind of talk for any more. But because I don't like arguing. If you want to argue with me, I'm kind of like, okay. And I kind of move on. But Jerry Tony is a good brother. He preaches the fact that you have to actually live for God to be a Christian. Mm. So by that fact, he is a great friend of mine, because any pastor that's teaching that you actually have to live for God to be a Christian can't be bad at all. Yeah. You know, I love it. Yeah. And he preaches a lot of good messages. But the meat of what he preaches is, if you're going to say you're a Christian, be a Christian.
Amen.
And so that's what I love. And so if I suggest this to all of us, okay? If you disagree with somebody on their rapture theory, it is no reason to not be a brother to them, okay? Because it is obvious that none of us know, okay? After May 14th, 2019, I was like, oh, you know what I mean? So it's like, right, but we're doing exactly what God says. He said, remain, be a watchman. Because he says the day of the watchman will come, okay? Because the watchmen are saying, I see a sign, it looks like that. Did you hear me barking last night? I was barking last night. You know what I mean? I was telling you, God may have given us a 120-year count.
Yeah.
The same as he gave Noah a 120-year count. And we're at the 119th of that 120th count. And the 120th in the book of Psalms gives you a Genesis Psalms, which is a new beginning. And the whole verse talks about the beginning of the tribulation and Israel crying out to God.
Amen.
Okay, so I'm barking. This thing is going to come true because God is real.
Yes.
Okay, now Rosh Hashanah is coming. It is the most. Yes.
MOG, remember God said, what about the 120 Jubilees?
120 Jubilees? The 120 Jubilees ended at 2017, which is the middle verse that divides the Bible. Okay, now that 120 jubilees was the end of the work week of Jesus Christ.
Right.
That was the 6,000th year. Okay, but my question was, since it wasn't the 120th jubilee that the rapture happened, then did God give us a 120 year count? Because God didn't give Noah 120 jubilee count. It was as metaphor, speaking of the 120th jubilee, but God gave Noah a definitive 120 year count. This is how long it's going to be, and then boom, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And Jesus said it will be as it was in the days of Noah. Now look, when you say in Hebrew kimocha, it means as, the same. It doesn't mean kind of the same. It doesn't mean some, you know, descriptions are the same. It means exactly the same. Okay, so if Jesus says it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah, he gave Noah a 120 year count. Okay,
Angela said 120 times 50 is 6,000 years.
Exactly, and that was 2017. We ended the 120th jubilee. Okay. Could there have been a harvest in the 120th jubilee? No. Why? It was a jubilee year. We couldn't have harvested anyway.
Right.
Okay, so, but this 117, 118, and then now we're at 119. And if, this is it, if 1900s began the 120 year God count from God for the church, then we're at 119 and 120. And so, I'm saying we better pay attention, okay? Because it may be just as it was in the days of Noah, and God may have gave us a 120-year count, and definitively, he described it in Psalms 1, and then in Psalms 2, in Psalms 3, all the way up to Psalms 48, the return of Israel, and it happened exactly, and then he just continued prophesying. And you notice how the Psalms stayed on course for all of those years. It's amazing. One day we're going to have to just do a study on Psalms and the history of 1900s. That sounds pretty good. I think I'm going to do that.
That sounds pretty good.
And boy, you're going to see that God kept on pace from 1900, 1947, 1948, 1967, 1973, all of these wars and things that were going on. And not just that, things that were going on in the world, shoes getting thrown at people on CNN, floods happening, the tsunamis, giving you the exact, not only the exact year that it would happen, but giving you the exact day, because it said the flood took place on the 26th, and that's when it happened, the day after Christmas. So Psalms is a strange book that has prophesied for 120 years, and God definitively. Now, this is the problem with Psalms. Psalms 120 is called the Psalms of Ascent. You understand? It's called the Psalms of Ascent. Before the 120th Psalm, there is no Psalms of Ascent. The Psalms of going up, the Psalms of Mi Allah, there is no Psalms of ascending. But it starts at Psalms 120, the Psalms of Ascent.
Dr. Barry said, what was the Hebrew year in 1900?
Dr. Barry, you are a very studious young man. I want you to find that out and send it to me. Because I don't know right now, but I'm sure I can look it up. But Dr. Barry sent me a lot of good stuff, and I know he will. So we will see. Okay, now. But remember, God knows both calendars. I want you to know that. I want us to really understand and know that. Because in the 5,708th verse of the Torah is the return of the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy. And that 5,708 equals out to the year 1948. But he put Psalms in the 19th book and in the 48th chapter. So that means God knows both calendars, okay?
Right.
So we're there. Now, let's get to the Rosh Hashanah thing, okay?
Right.
Here are the Feast of Yah, okay? the feast of Yahweh, and I should say Yahweh, because Yah gave us a plan, and that is to connect us by his Holy Spirit. That Vav and that Hey is our salvation by the Holy Spirit. Yes. He added that on Yah, okay? So Yah is Yahweh. It's a title of the God that's going to come and connect us by his Spirit, okay? So Yahweh, our God, has in heaven, before earth, Mohadims.
Appointed times
and dates, okay? That they celebrated in heaven before there was an earth. They had Sabbath in heaven before there was an earth, okay? According to the book of Jasher, the book of Jubilee, they said the Sabbath was something in heaven that God gave to his chosen people. But it was already established in heaven before. So God gave us. And then when in Leviticus, God says to us, he says, these are my appointed feasts. He doesn't say these are the feasts appointed to Israel. He says, no, these are mine. This was already mine. I'm just loaning it out to the nation of Israel so that you can keep time when your feast, according to the way, so you don't start celebrating Halloween and crazy stuff like that. Okay. You keep my feast, not the world's, okay? So, these are the feasts. Passover, Pesach, the Feast of First Fruit, okay? The Feast of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, that's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, the Day of Atonement, 10 days after the Feast of the Feast of Trumpets is Yom Kippur. What's that? The Day of Covering. Kippur means I'm covering your sins. I've covered you, okay? And then I'll explain to you on the way. Now, I'm going to explain a lot of this because if I do this all with scripture, we're only going to get through about a third of it. So I got to explain it to you, and then I want you to go back and look and study it. And if you need the scriptures, I'll send it to you. Okay, 10 days after Rosh Hashanah is Yom Kippur, okay? Those 10 days are called the Days of Awe, which means that the full judgment of God will be falling in those 10 days, okay? The rescue of Israel will come at Yom Kippur. Yes. It's been established in the book of, in the Torah, when Moses went up to the mountain, okay? And he stayed up on the mountain for 40 days. He returned back to the earth on Yom Kippur. Yes. Okay, not on the earth, but he returned back to his people on Yom Kippur. They thought he had come down to judge them, and they took off running.
Yes.
His face was glowing, okay? The same Jesus, when he comes back on Yom Kippur in all of his glory, the same people that pierced him are going to see him, and they're going to be very afraid. But he's not coming to judge them. He's coming to Kippur them. He's coming to cover their sins and to now to give them his Holy Spirit and to place the word in their heart instead of, on tablets.
Yeah.
So these are the feast days. After the feast of Yom Kippur is the day of, is the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is the end of the harvest season. It's where we get Thanksgiving from. We're celebrating in the Feast of Tabernacles that all of the harvest has come into the barn, okay? And everybody's saying we had a successful harvest. We harvest the barley, we harvest the wheat, we harvest the fruit, and now here we are, okay? At the end of the harvest season, and then on the Feast of Tabernacles is the time that you celebrate, okay, the fullness of the harvest, okay? Now, it's called the Feast of Tabernacles because he tabernacled amongst us. Who tabernacled amongst us?
Right.
Jesus, okay? Jesus came, and when he tabernacles amongst us, he was born during the Feast of Tabernacles. Please don't argue with me over that. If you want to study it, I'll send it to you. But Jesus was born during the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles is an 8-day, an 8-day celebration. 7 days, then one more day just to get it all in, right? So it is an 8-day celebration because it is the celebration of Yeshua when he came to tabernacle amongst us. What the Jews call it is the Feast of Ingathering, which means that all the harvest has been gathered, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, let me show you something. Ryan brought this to me today. Look at this. You see that? You know what that looks like? I hope you can see that. Can you see that, Pastor Ben?
Yes.
That is Officer Ryan, Minister Officer Ryan. He brought this into us today, and it looks like wheat. He's a farmer. This guy is a farmer, okay? And rather he has a farm or not, his whole brain thinks like a farmer. So he brought this in and he said, this looks like wheat, but it doesn't. See, it's falling over. You know why it's falling over? It has no substance. OK, but he got excited when he thought it, when he saw it in his yard. He thought, wow, that might be wheat. You know, that must be something good growing up. But as he looked at it more and more, and then he finally just pulled it up and said, this thing has no substance. This is not wheat. This is a tear. Okay, that's a bad Christian right there. That's what that is.
That's a fake Christian.
This is a fake Christian right here. Look at me just falling. Oh, I can't do it. Should have read your word, right? So we understand that God has promised this harvest season. Okay, now, God gave us the 7 mohadims, appointed times, as a sign of what he is going to do. The Passover, Pesach, okay? When they came out of Egypt, and on the 14th of Nisan, someone said, hey, Pastor Sandy, the Hebrew calendar says that the new year begins at Rosh Hashanah. If you're being disobedient, yes. Okay, but God said in Exodus chapter 12, this is to be the new the new year for you from now on, right? Mm-hmm. Nisan 1 became the new time that Israel is supposed to celebrate a new year is supposed to be Passover, okay? Or Nisan 1. From Nisan 1 and then on Nisan 14th, they came out of Egypt. So they had the Passover. They came out of Egypt on Nisan 14th, okay? So what did they do? They took a lamb, okay? They killed the lamb. They took the blood from the lamb and they put it on the doorposts of their home, okay? And anyone who had the lamb's blood on the door was passed over by the death angel. So this all happened on the 14th of Nisan, okay? Now, God did that and he tells them, celebrate this every year. So every year for 2,000 years, on the 14th of Nisan, they're going out, getting a lamb, killing the lamb, taking the blood, putting it on the doorpost. You know, they're celebrating Passover every year, okay? Till one year, the Mashiach, the true Lamb of God, is born. And he gets killed. And his blood gives us freedom from this worldly Egypt, okay? And everyone who has the blood of Jesus on us or with us is passed over by the death angel. But it happened on the 14th of Nisan, okay?
Pam wants to know, was the blood on the outside or the inside of the door?
Outside, because the angels were looking. The angels came through and they said, if I see the blood on your door, no one will die in that house. But if I come and I don't see any blood, you put it on the inside, you're in trouble, right? It's like the woman who he said, make sure you put this red scarf and that it hangs from your window, so they know. Now, if she put it on the inside, they wouldn't know. Okay. So, anyway, 2,000 years, Passover comes. Here's the blood, right? God set that day up. When did he set that day up? In Egypt. God knew the exact day that they came out of Egypt would be the exact day that Jesus Christ died on the cross.
Yes.
So you're going, see, to me, when I found that out, I went, wow, how do you control 2,000 years of time to make sure that something happens exactly on the date that it happened 2,000 years ago? And then it has to happen exactly the same way. Someone has to die innocent, and his blood has to free us. Okay? So Passover became a fulfilled prophecy. Okay? Amen. Now, he in Feast of Unleavened Bread, he says, now, for 7 days after that, I don't want anybody eating any bread with yeast. Okay? Because yeast represents sin, and your Passover lamb was sinless. He is the bread of life. Yeah. So for 7 days came the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which we call is the first fruit, the beginning of first fruit. Okay? Jesus, on the 17th of Nisan, resurrects from the grave, giving us the Feast of First Fruit. Feast of First Fruit is celebrated the day after the Sabbath. What's the day after Sabbath? Yom Rishon, which is this what we call Sunday. He resurrects. So now we get Passover's fulfilled. He resurrects as the first fruit. And so first fruit is fulfilled. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is fulfilled because he had no sin. And then now they say Christ leaves and he tells them, wait here. First, he walks with them for 40 days and he says, wait here for the appointed time, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he tells them to go to Jerusalem, right? So Christ leaves on the 40th day. 10 days later, they're in Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit falls, Pentecost, right? 50 days after they left Egypt, they're in the wilderness. 50 days later, they're in the wilderness and the Holy Spirit falls, billows of fire, and God marries them. And then it happens the exact same way at Pentecost 2,000 years later. So you have these feasts fulfilled on the exact day at the exact time. And there it was, the fulfillment of God's mohadims. Okay? So now you say, well, we still have Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. We still have the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And we still have the Feast of Tabernacles to celebrate. So that means if he fulfilled the first Mohadims, that means he's going to also fulfill the second half of the Mohadims, right? So now we want to get ready for the second half of God's fulfillments of his appointed times. And what are those? Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. Okay. Yom Kippur, the Feast of Covering, because that's when he's going to return and cover their sins. And then the Feast of Tabernacles is when he's going to now, he'll be here. He'll be tabernacling amongst them, and he will celebrate amongst us all here as the millennium begins. Okay. Do I believe this is going to happen? He's been pretty consistent so far. Yes, I do believe it, right? Amen. So now, we talk about Rosh Hashanah. This is a couple of things that you need to know about Rosh Hashanah, okay? And I'm going to tell you one of the craziest things about Rosh Hashanah, because on Rosh Hashanah, they are celebrating the beginning of what used to be the new year. But their new year doesn't begin until there's a new moon. Listen. Now, so that means the moon has a cycle that controls the month. Okay? You can't start a new month in Israel in a full moon or in a half moon. Every new month starts at a new moon. Okay? When Rosh Hashanah comes, they begin these teruah blasts, right? These trumpet blasts. That's why it's called the Feast of Trumpets. So they blow 99. They're all in different processions, right? But then once they get to the 99th trumpet, they stop. And they can't blow the great trumpet, the last trumpet, until they see the new moon. Then when they see the new moon, they can blow the last trumpet, and that commemorates to all of the people that the new year has begun. It's Rosh Hashanah. Now, in the book of Joseph, Joseph says, he says, I saw all my brothers. He said, I saw wheat, and I saw all you guys bowing down to me. And there was like wheat stalks, but all you guys bowed down to me. And they're like, you know, who are we going? We're going to bow down to you. We're not going to bow down to you, Joseph. Then Joseph goes and tells his mom and dad. He said, I even saw the moon and the sun bow down to me. And Joseph's parents immediately said, why is he saying we're also going to bow down to him? Joseph's dad was kind of upset. Like he said, but he kept it within him. He's saying his mother, the moon, and the sun also bowed down to him. When did the moon and the sun get married? The Bible has an author. He's telling his story. When he created the moon and the sun, listen, I'm trying to think of the chapter in Psalms. He says that the moon, the sun, is going to come out of his bride chamber one day, right? The sun is going to come out of his bride chamber one day, okay? For this marriage, right? Understand, the sun has light. The moon has no light.
None.
You know where the moon gets its light? From the sun, okay? So the bride, and this is what I always tell people in marriage, look, I could tell if the father or the husband is not doing well because the moon will be dark. If the husband is full of light, the moon will be brightly shining. You understand?
Amen.
Okay. So in God's terms, the sun is representing Yeshua, the Son of God, because one day he is going to rise from the east, okay? And he's going to return from the east, but with burning flames, right? So the sun prophesies to us every morning. Every morning the sun comes up, you should say, one of these days the real sun's going to come up and going to burn up everything. We need to get right with God, right?
Amen.
It's supposed to be a prophecy. Everything that is created to tell you the story of Christ. So here's this moon. Now here's the cycle of the moon, you guys. This is pretty crazy to me. Okay, once you see the slither of the moon, it's a new month, right? Then you go move on to the next day and you get more of the moon, right? Then, you know, a couple of weeks go by and you see more of the moon, right? Mm-hmm. Then about in the middle of the month, you have a full moon.
Right.
You're like, wow, that is beautiful, right? Then the moon starts, you see less than full moon. You start seeing the moon dissipate. It starts being less and less all the way to the end of the month. Okay? Then the moon disappears from the view of the earth. You can't see the moon anymore. You know why? It's left. No one on earth can see the moon. It disappears. This is where you get Rosh Hashanah, because they can't blow the trumpet till the moon reappears in the sky. Who's the moon? The bride. So the moon is representing the rapture,
right?
That one day the bride is going to disappear from the view of the earth, but is going to reappear in the sky. And when they blow the trumpet, right? I'm talking against myself right now, saying that the rapture is going to be on Rosh Hashanah, because that's how it's going to be, right?
Question for you.
Yes.
They want to know, somebody wants to know, the Bible says that he created two great lights. If the moon doesn't have a light of its own, then where are the two great
lights? He said, I created a lesser light.
That's right.
It's not that it doesn't have any light. He created a great light, the Gadolim, light, and he created a lesser light, Katan, which means a smaller light, right? So it's not that the moon is not a real specific thing to say it has no light, but it's a lesser light. But it receives the greater light when the sun flashes upon it, okay? So understand. So now this moon goes through a cycle every year. So every new month, you're getting a prophecy of the rapture.
Right.
The moon disappeared. Now we got to wait and see when the moon reappears. Now you got two. You got two. Now this is why it's called the day that no one knows. Because the moon might not reappear on the first day after it disappears. It might take 2 days before the moon actually appears, but they can't blow the trumpet until the moon reappears.
Right.
Okay? Then they see the moon reappear. Remember, they've already blown 99 trumpets. They're waiting to blow the last trump. Okay? They see the moon and they blow the last trump. The new moon has reappeared. So you got the trumpet blast and the bride appears in the sky. Okay? Now, when I say that, I go, I just proved myself wrong. The rapture is going to happen at Rosh Hashanah. Totally believe I could be wrong. Okay? Now, after that happens, I said, well, let me look up some things. I said, because Christ says it will be as the day as no one on a day that no one knows, right? The day that no one knows is an idiom in the Hebrew language for Rosh Hashanah. It's called the day that no one knows because no one knows when the moon's going to reappear. Okay? So he said this is going to be on the day that no one knows. So either he's meant that it'll be a day that no one knows or he meant Rosh Hashanah. Okay? So I go, there's another Rosh Hashanah thing, right? Now, if God takes the church out at Rosh Hashanah, the next thing that happens would be Yom Kippur 10 days later. Can that happen? That means God, Jesus would have to return 10 days after Rosh Hashanah. You understand? So, if God took the church out at Rosh Hashanah to fulfill these last feasts, that means he would take the church out at Rosh Hashanah. 10 days later is Yom Kippur. Wait a minute. There's a 7-year tribulation. He can't fulfill Yom Kippur until he actually returns. So then the Feast of Tabernacles, he's actually on the earth celebrating the end of the feast. Now I'm getting away from Rosh Hashanah in the way that I think of it as being the fulfillment of the rapture. Yes.
Another question. Is there any significance to the harvest moon on tomorrow, Friday the 13th?
The harvest moon? I don't know. I haven't looked into that. Is tomorrow? Tomorrow's not a new moon, is it? No, because we got Rosh Hashanah's coming up at the end of the month. So the harvest moon is the full moon, right? The harvest moon is the full moon. The full moon, let me tell you something. There's a beautiful Hebrew song that a lady sang in English called "I Want to Dance with You on the Harvest Moon." It's like God is saying, "I want to dance with you on the full moon." You know when the full moon is, right? Feast of Tabernacles.
Right.
Okay? So when Christ comes back, the song is saying, "I haven't forgot you. You are still my love. I'm looking forward to dancing with you on the harvest moon, on the full moon." Because when Christ returns on Yom Kippur, 5 days later, is the Feast of Tabernacles, which he will be reigning and ruling on the earth, and he will dance with Israel as they realize that he's the Messiah, right? Okay, I hope you guys are understanding this. The people that have gone through Hebrew class, you better understand, because we went through this, okay? So, here we are, and now we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. The feasts are fulfilled in order. Christ came on Passover. 3 days later, after the Sabbath, was the Feast of First Fruit. He rose from the grave. 50 days later was Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit fell. The same as it was in the Old Testament, the same amount of dates. The Feast of Trumpets happens. 10 days later, the Day of Atonement happens, Yom Kippur. 5 days later, the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? That's the structure. If Rosh Hashanah is for the church, that means you have to wait 7 years before you can celebrate Yom Kippur because Christ is not coming back to Yom Kippur. So let's look. Let's look. Now, listen, if God says, I decided I'm taking the church out at Yom Kippur and I'm going to take out the believers in the tribulation, both on Rosh Hashanah. So, Sandy, you're wrong. I've decided Rosh Hashanah is going to be both the church day and then I'm going to fulfill it at the end of tribulation. Then I would go, I was totally wrong. God decided to rapture the church on Rosh Hashanah and he decided to do this on Rosh Hashanah. So we have to go to Revelation chapter 14. Thank God. I love when I have to get to my Bible. I don't think anybody should talk that long without opening their Bible. I'm appreciative of God that he had me to remember all of that so that I could tell it to you. But I want us to get to Revelation chapter 14 because it's very important that we see that Rosh Hashanah, there's a Rosh Hashanah rapture at the end of the tribulation.
Pastor, Jimmy D wants to know, what about the peace treaty that's about to happen? Well, that's coming up soon.
Vicky, you will not see a peace treaty. This is what you may see, okay? You may see them agree to a peace treaty. Not agree to it, but they may say, okay, this is the peace treaty, let's sign it. Now, that peace treaty is not going to be enforced until the Antichrist comes and he confirms it and enforces it, okay? Because the tribulation begins when he confirms the treaty. Having a peace treaty does not begin the tribulation. There has to be a peace treaty already established when he comes because he doesn't come to write up one.
Right.
The Antichrist just comes and says, I'm confirming this, let's do it. Okay? So to see one being hashed out is great news for us. That means we're leaving. Because we know that once we leave, the Antichrist is going to come and he's going to confirm that treaty. Okay? So that's a very good thing for us. I mean, that's another thing like, hey, we going home. My bags have like been packed a long time, right? And there are reasons why my bags are packed, because God keeps giving us signs.
Yeah.
And one of them is we got Trump saying that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. And then we got Trump and we have. And now, it is just amazing to me that Yarad means Jared means shall come down. OK, because Yarad is one of the rain cycles. This rain cycle, he says, shall come down. OK, Yarad means the rain shall come down, Yarad, which is Trump's his son-in-law's name, right? Then the president's name just happened to be Trump.
Vice president.
Okay, it's Pence.
It's Trump Pence.
Yeah. So I can see God in heaven going, they still don't get it. I'm playing with them. So you got to understand, look, when it happens, he's going to go, duh, Gerard, Trump, Pence. It was just a whole big setup. So, but he won't get me. I'm going, I knew it. Right? Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 14.
10 minutes.
Okay.
Revelation
chapter 14. And we're going to start at verse 1. Okay. And whether we have time or not, we're going to finish this. Where is, okay. Are we ready?
Yes.
It says, then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their forehead. And I heard the sound from heaven like the roaring, rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like the harpists playing their harps, and they sang a song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. So where are the 144,000? They're now in heaven. Okay? Now, you get 144,000 taken up to heaven before the end times, the tribulation rapture. Okay? Now watch this. Okay? It says, these are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they kept themselves pure. They followed the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among men and offered as a first fruit to God and the Lamb. So the first ones that go up during the tribulation is the 144,000. Because remember, to have a harvest, you have to have a first fruit.
Right.
So they're being offered as kind of a first fruit. We know Jesus is the first fruit.
Right.
But in keeping with order, God says, I'm going to bring up the 144 as a first fruit offered. Okay? There are 144,000 from the Hebrew line of people. Okay? They're not the ones from Detroit. You're not them. Okay? They're from the Hebrew line of people. You have to be from one of the 12. And then one of the Jehovah's Witness came to my door and says, the best 144,000 Jehovah's Witness get to go to heaven. And I'm like, well, what tribes are they from? Because you got to tell me what Jewish tribe they're, what Hebrew tribe they're from, because the ones that go up are 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. Okay? Mm-hmm. And it's like people call me and they say, I discovered that I'm one of the two witnesses. And I go, no, you're not. You're not one of the two witnesses. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Okay? But you can't just, I know it, you just can't just start claiming. Stop laughing, Pastor Bill. But people do that. They do that. And then I'm supposed to stand there and go, okay. I go, no, you're not. Okay. Okay. Now, let's look at this. Okay. See, somebody on the line is going to be saying, I'm one of those, and they're going to be mad at you forever. Don't laugh, Pastor.
It's funny.
Okay. All right. So it says, they followed the Lamb, and they're given as a first fruit to the Lamb. It says, no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. So we got the 144,000 in heaven. This is at the end of the tribulation, you guys. Okay. So now, here comes Rosh Hashanah. The first day of the new year is about to hit. Okay? And listen what happens. It says, then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who lived on the earth. Okay? To every nation, tribe, language, and people. What is he preaching to them? The eternal gospel. What did Jesus say? I will not return until when? The gospel is preached throughout the whole world. Okay? Who's preaching this? I saw an angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who lived on the earth, every nation, tribe, and language. It is not CNN or TBN that's going to make sure that the gospel reaches every language and every nation. It is the angels during the tribulation. Once they preach the gospel to every nation, he says, now you know that Christ is about to return. This is what Christ was talking about. Okay? He said in a loud voice, fear God, the angel said. Give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and the springs of water. Now, a second angel followed and said, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all nations drink of the maddening of her fornication. A third angel followed and said, that's the Vatican being destroyed. The third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receive a mark on his forehead or in his hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's wrath, of God's fury, which has been poured out in full strength in the cup of his wrath. He will torment with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of God. If you take the mark, okay, the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There
is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image. You hear that? So you can't take the mark.
At all.
You understand? And there's a pastor that told people that you can take it. I think it would be just fine. Man, I hope the Lord talked to him and he just repented. Okay. Who worship the image. It says no rest for them who worship the beast or for anyone who receives the mark or his name. Now, since you know that, this calls for patience and endurance of the saints. What saints? Tribulation people who have decided to follow Jesus, okay? This is going to call for your patience. It says, who obey God's commands and remain faithful to Jesus. So they're not sinning, and they've remained faithful to Jesus, imuna, meaning they're only faithful to God, they're not taking the mark.
Right.
And they're not bowing down to the thing. Kill me if you have to, but now I know that Jesus is real. That's what these tribulation saints are saying. Okay, it says, then I heard the voice from heaven say, right, blessed are those who are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, this says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. So you're going to have to die in the Lord to make it to the kingdom.
Yes.
In the tribulation. Okay? Now, let's look at here. Okay? It says, I looked, and there before me was a white cloud. Wait a minute. Isn't there a white cloud in Thessalonians? Okay, watch this. Okay? I looked, and there before me was a white cloud. And seated on the cloud was one like the Son of Man. Jesus is on the cloud with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Thessalonians, he doesn't have any crown on his head. There's been no crowning service. Okay? So this is a different time of Christ coming down than Thessalonians. The time that he comes down in a cloud in Thessalonians, he blows the trumpet and we come up, we get to heaven and there is a crowning service. So now he's coming back at the end of tribulation. He has his crowns on his head with the crowns on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was seated on the cloud. Take your sickle to Jesus, reap and reap because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he takes his sickle and he harvests. So he who seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth and the earth was harvested. You see that? So there's a harvest going on at the end of the tribulation. What's that harvest? It's a fruit harvest.
Right.
It's a fruit harvest. So now he's taking these people up and they're in heaven now. Listen to this. That's my phone. Watch it be. Okay. You want to be calling me? I'm going to turn off my phone. All right, here we go. Now, so it says, okay, so it says, and the earth was harvested, okay? So he's taken up the fruit harvest, okay? Now, listen to this. Another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. Still another angel who had the charge of fire came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle. Now listen to this. I want you to listen to this. It's already been harvested. What comes after Rosh Hashanah? Yom Kippur. What do you have to do on Yom Kippur? You have to go in the temple, okay? You have to, it says here, you have to go into the temple and you have to take fire from the altar in the temple and place it on the incense to create a smoke so that what? When Christ returns, that everyone doesn't die because he's going to return on a cloud. So now here in Revelation chapter 14, in verse 16, it says the earth was on the cloud, swung his sickle and harvest the earth, right? Mm-hmm. Now it says after that, because what's after the Rosh Hashanah is Yom Kippur. In heaven, he too had a sickle, and still another angel came with charge of the fire. What fire? The fire that's inside of the altar, that comes from the altar, who called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle. Take your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of grapes from the earth's vine, because its grapes are ripe. The angel swung his sickle on the earth and gathered the grapes and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. That wasn't a good gathering. Mm-mm. Remember, he already took the good fruit.
Right.
So he said, gather up the rest of that and throw it into God's wrath. They were trampled in the winepress outside of the city, and the blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as a horse's bridle for a distance of 1,600 thaddeus, right? Or stadia. Now watch this. A rapture takes place. Then the angels go into the temple and get the fire. We can go back to I think it's in Leviticus 16, where he told them, when you go in to the altar, get the fire off and put it on the incense to create a smoke. Why? Because who's going to come back? Jesus is about to come back. You got to create a smoke. Why? Because if Jesus doesn't come back on the cloud, everything that sees him dies.
Yes.
But if he comes back on a cloud, he can choose who's dying and who stays safe. Because the cloud was to protect those who went into the presence of God from falling over and dying. Because two guys did that. They walked in there, hey, God. It's like, wait. So God said, hey, hold up. Moses, I got a little more information for you. Said, when people go into the altar for Yom Kippur, tell them to take fire off of the altar, put it on the incense, create a flame, create a smoke, so that when you come in, that you won't die, okay? These angels are doing the same thing for Yom Kippur at the end of the tribulation. They're putting, they go in with the fire in the altar and they place it. Now, I could go to Revelation 8 and you'll see they place the flames. They placed the incense on the with the flames, and they created a smoke. And that's in Revelation 8, because it's giving you the same story, okay? Christ is about to return. It's Yom Kippur. Now, watch this. In verse 15, and I'm going to quit, Pastor Ben, because I know I'm out of time. It says, I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with seven last plagues. Last, because with these... with them, God's wrath is complete. I saw what looked like to be a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast. So these people came through the tribulation, they're in heaven, and his image, and over the number of his name. They held harps given them by God and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. So half of them are singing Jewish songs and half of them are singing a Gentile song. Okay? Now, they're in heaven on a sea of glass mixed with fire. Revelation chapter 4, the church is in heaven, but we're not on a sea of fire. We're on a sea of glass with fire. We're on a sea of glass that's calm and crystal and clear, because we come in peace. They came in through tribulation. You understand? Mm-hmm. So here you have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Christ is going to return, and tabernacles situated at the end of the tribulation, and they fulfilled the last feast days. Okay? So now, when I say Rosh Hashanah is not the rapture,
Believe me, I'm a goofball. I don't know. Okay? All I know is that Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles gets fulfilled at the end of tribulation. Am I God? No. If God says no, I'm going to rapture the church at Rosh Hashanah, and I'm going to rapture the fruit at Rosh Hashanah, and I'm going to, the wheat at Rosh Hashanah, and I'm going to rapture the fruit at Rosh Hashanah. That's my plan, Sandy. I would be like, okay, I was wrong. Praise God. Let's go. Right? But if it doesn't happen, don't say, oh God, I have to wait till next Rosh Hashanah. Because you don't. Because Rosh Hashanah may not be the rapture. You understand? Rosh Hashanah just may be the time that's waiting on the fulfillment of the last harvest of the world. Okay? So if it doesn't happen, don't say, well, now we got to wait till next year. Because you don't. Because there's a wedding in the Psalms of Songs that happens in the spring. There's a, you know what I mean? So I'm saying there's a harvest that happens at Tabernacle. There's a harvest that happens at Hanukkah. So you get rapture scenario at Tabernacle. You get a rapture scenario at Hanukkah. You get a rapture scenario at during the spring. So you got three rapture scenarios that are still left before you even enter into the next year. Okay? So I'm saying, I don't want people to say, it's happening at Rosh Hashanah, then it don't happen at Rosh Hashanah, and you think you got another year, because you may not have another year. Okay? You may have just till Tabernacle, or you may just have till Hanukkah, or you may just have till spring begins, or you may just have on none of those days, and God says it's going to be on a day that nobody knows. You know what I mean? So I'm saying, look, but one thing that we can rejoice about is that the question that I ask, the 120 years, it will be just as it was in the days of Noah. We've counted from 1900 to 2019, 119 of those years. Next year, after March, will be 2020 in God's eyes. But before March will still be 119, which may be the rapture, then the tribulation beginning in 2020. We have a lot of great things to look forward to. You understand? It doesn't matter to me when it happens. The fact is, the guy who wrote the book is 100% sure for thousands of years, and I'm trusting that it's going to happen, and I'm waiting for it with patience, and I'm waiting for it with great expectation, because it's going to happen. Okay? So praise God. I hope I was able to explain that to you. I sweated a little bit doing it, so I hope you appreciate it. Praise God.
You want to pray out?
Yeah, let's pray out. Wow. Somebody out there asked me for a t-shirt. I had your email. Now I can't find it to get your address. So if you did ask me, if you're that young lady and you asked me for a t-shirt and I said, yeah, I'll get it to you, and I never got the information to you, please, hit me back up, or hit Pastor Ben up. Not that he has less to do than I do. He got two little girls. So, but he'll definitely get it out to you. Okay. Let's pray out. Yivareka ka Adonai v'yishmareka. Yair Adonai panavileka v'chuneka. Yi'asei panavileka v'yasim l'kai shalom. V'yasim l'kai shalom. Here we are. God says, when you see my people, bless them and say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody. Li'itriot, which means see you later. Be'shavua haba, in next week. Or the cloud party. Let's go. Let's go.
All right.
All right.